Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Dr. Laura Haynes. Dr. Haynes, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Rick.
And I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. We're going to be talking about a rather serious legislative proposal that is out there that could really cause some problems with how we work with the mental health of people who are dealing with same-sex attraction. But we'll get into that in just a little bit. Before we begin, as we do at every show, let's begin with a word of prayer. Would you mind leading us in some prayer?
Sure. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask you to come to the aid of our state and nation and the world when it comes to religious freedom and the freedom for people who have unwanted same-sex attraction or gender identity to take the path that they choose and to be able to seek the help that they may want. And we ask that you will guarantee our protections and freedoms and rights under law here and around the world. Pray in the name of our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Now, Dr. Laura Haynes, you have been involved in clinical practice as a psychologist for many years, and recently, I'm going to use air quotes here that people can't see on the air, but you've recently retired.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that you are hanging your shingle or putting it away and now going quietly off to go play somewhere.
Not at
all.
You
are deeply involved in the legislative action behind the different things that are happening in California. Tell us just a little bit about your background, what educationally you bring in, what practice-wise you bring to the table here today, and then what you bring in with what you're currently doing in your legislative component.
Okay, well, Rick, I'm a California licensed psychologist with over 40 years experience. And I'm an author and a speaker. I review research on sexual orientation and gender identity. And I'm a political activist. So I was called into this when we began seeing some laws being formed to take away people's freedoms and rights. So I got involved in protecting people's rights. I've lobbied and testified in four states. I've been up to Sacramento half a dozen times this year. I've been to Washington State a couple of times. My educational background is I have three master's degrees and a PhD. These are in theology and psychology. Okay. And I'm a convert to the Catholic faith. So in my previous life, I was a former president of the Christian Association of Psychological Studies in the Western region, Western United States and Western Canada.
So you're also a convert from a Protestant denomination?
That's right.
Sort?
That's right.
Where did you come in from? What group, if I may ask?
I would just say a non-denominational,
semi-evangelical,
conservative group. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, I'm a convert, too. So my first master's was in divinity. Then I went into education, finishing up the PhD program. But so some similarities there. I can at least identify with the convert side. That means that you take very seriously what it is that Catholics believe, along with what you have learned in your background and your education.
It does. It does. And I have, over the decades, treated a lot of Protestants and Catholics who take seriously their faith and wanted to integrate their faith and have it respected and called upon to help them in the changes they personally wanted to make in their lives.
Now, I am aware of how fast things have accelerated in the last 20 years or so with trying to move through the legislative process a recognition of a different philosophy toward gender, towards sexuality. This whole idea, for example, that you're somehow assigned your gender at birth, I don't ever see how you could be assigned a gender. Your sexual gonads are recognized, but gender, I always was taught when I was first going through school, had to do with Spanish and whether or not you were talking about male or female that way. And it's been applied to people for more political purposes, it seems, and a different worldview than what most of us were brought up in, especially the Christian worldview. It seems that we've had an acceleration in the last 20 years. Am I right in seeing that, of this agenda coming through of trying to change and normalize this other worldview?
Yes, for sure. I think we can certainly see that. And, of course, gender is binary. There are only two types of reproductive organs that reproduce, and that's male and female. And even the World Professional Association for Transgender Health acknowledges that gender dysphoria, or unhappiness about what sex your body is, that even gender dysphoria can be caused by other psychiatric diagnoses. And in those cases, they don't recommend their affirmative treatments. So people should have the right to therapy that helps them explore the causes of their gender dysphoria and underlying disorders. Because if we can help them treat those disorders, we will also be treating the resulting gender dysphoria and allow them to preserve their bodies whole and not have these horrible changes made to their body that destroy healthy fertility and breast and reproductive organs. It's a horrible toll. And if someone can be spared that and actually have a resolution to their gender dysphoria, that's really the solution we want people to have the option to have.
A little bit later on, I want to talk a little more deeply about the idea of gender dysphoria and what is being put out there. Because where I am right now in a public institution, the idea that there's normalcy to challenging what your gender is, and the idea of there being a limiting binary, that's how they would kind of describe it, as being the norm, is also being questioned. I want to ask a few of those questions in a little bit, but before we get there, you're here specifically today in order to address a very pressing problem that's suddenly come up. And right now, by the time that this airs, we'll be right in the middle of not a crisis, but an issue that will have popped up and that needs to be dealt with. What is that?
Well, right now there is a bill going through the state California legislature called AB 2943, and I invite everybody to go to AB2943.com to get information and take action on this tragic bill. This bill amends the consumer fraud law and would make it illegal for anyone to help anyone change their sexual attractions or behavior or their gender identity or expression. So this doesn't just apply to professional licensed therapists. If a pastor is paid to speak and he reads the scriptures that say that people can change and encourages people to change, or he talks about the teachings of the church and encourages people not to act on their homosexual attractions, he could be brought up on, that could trigger this law and lead to bankrupting lawsuits. The same for counselors, the same for a ticketed church conference, could even potentially affect a school or university where students pay to attend and they might get teaching on scripture or church teachings, or have a counseling center or a counselor who would encourage them to change their behavior. That could trigger this law. It is staggering. It's considered the greatest legislative attack on religious freedom we have seen in America, according to the Alliance Defending Freedom, a legal law firm.
So just taking a for instance, if we had a pastor, a priest, who reads from the first two chapters of Romans, which talks very specifically about the actual acts themselves, and then counsels his congregation that this should not be acted upon, and it's not the way that God intended. There might be people with same-sex attraction, and we love those people, but that doesn't mean that it's normal. If he talks about it that way after this law, where he's essentially advocating the change of sexual orientation or how people act on their sexual orientation, he could be prosecuted under this law.
If there is an exchange of fee, yes, it could trigger this law. And, you know, the heart of many faiths includes the belief that people can change to live in accordance with their faith and find great joy. But this law attacks that freedom and that right. And we believe that everyone should have the right to have access to counseling and resources that help them make personal life changes that either help them live according to their faith or help them save their marriage or family. Whatever their personal reason is, they should have the right to choose who they love and how they identify. They should be able to choose their path and explore their options. They should have those rights. And AB 2943 is taking those freedoms away.
So then let's take a more practical example. Let's say we have a young man who is molested, and now he does have indeed heterosexual tendencies and heterosexual attraction toward his wife. Mm-hmm. But as a result of some of the turmoil and trauma, has some confusions about his attractions to other colleagues or friends that may be of the same gender.
Mm-hmm.
Under this law, he cannot go and seek help and successfully be given help in California.
That is correct, and I'm glad you brought this up, Rick. The American Psychological Association says in its authoritative handbook that sexual orientation is not simply biologically determined. It says the inconvenient truth is that their nature is and nurture and opportunity are always involved. It says there are psychological causes, and those psychological causes can include childhood sexual abuse. Based on their review of research, including a 30-year study of documented cases of childhood sexual abuse. So someone who experiences childhood sexual abuse could be left with attractions and behaviors they don't want. And those attractions and behaviors might be towards the opposite sex or the same sex. If their unwanted attractions and behaviors are toward the opposite sex, we can help them, but under AB 2943, if their sexual desires and behaviors they don't want are towards the same sex, we could not help them. This is unjust.
When children are sexually abused, there is often a boundary development issue that can take place. It's one of the reasons why we often have people who have been abused have a tendency to abuse or can abuse. They have an increased likelihood that they may end up abusing. Those boundaries can be complicated by the abuse. Under this law, if the boundaries are identified in the direction of same-sex attraction and not towards someone who, say, is younger than they are, they wouldn't be able to get therapy for that.
That's right. Either way, they can't get therapy if it's directed toward the same sex. So what's more compassionate, to tell people to give them help or to tell them they have to live with it? Now, you raised another issue, which is, what about a man comes to us for counseling and he says, I'm attracted to 5-year-olds. Please help me. Can we help him? Well, if he's attracted to 5-year-old girls, we can only help him change his behavior, but not his desire to engage in the behavior. If he's attracted to 5-year-old boys, we can't help him, except it's a dangerous behavior. So they make one exception I'll talk about when we get the chance.
And with that in mind, when we come back, we're going to go right into that. You just raised a fascinating point about whether or not regular therapy to safeguard our children is endangered by this. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Dr. Haynes, and we will be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts, great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Dr. Laura Haynes. And Dr. Haynes is a clinical psychologist for over 30 years who has recently, and in air quotes, retired, quote, in order to lead the crusade to stop a very unjust law that's in danger of being passed in California that could severely limit the options for therapy and treatment for people who are suffering from the effects of same-sex attraction, regardless of why, whether they were born that way, which raises some interesting issues about when and how that kind of attraction would take place, might be beyond what we're able to do much today, but we'll see. But also for the parts that might come because of traumas or because of abuse or because of other issues that might come into play. We were just discussing how if we have a man, per se, who has been abused and now is struggling with an attraction toward children, he may not, under this law, he may not be able to get full treatment to be able to help him get past all the aspects of his disorder. Did I understand that correctly, what you were saying, Dr. Haynes?
Yes, I was saying that the American Psychological Association says in its authoritative handbook of sexuality and psychology that same-sex attraction is not simply biologically determined. It says we are not even close to finding a gay gene that causes homosexuality. And it says the inconvenient truth is that psychological factors or nurture is always involved. And these psychological factors can include childhood sexual abuse. So sexual abuse can lead someone to have same-sex desires or behaviors they don't want. And under the AB 2943, we would not be able to help them change. The therapist would be required to affirm these desires or behaviors or remain neutral towards them, but could not lift a finger to help them change. And we have evidence-based treatments for trauma. We can help them change.
Well, and that raises a question for me. I read the bill. I read it quickly, but I read the bill. And there are a couple of places that were a little confusing for me. There's a whole section in there that deals, for some reason, with Veterans Administration. I'm not sure that that's all that relevant. But there's a section that talks about, it's towards the beginning, that these treatments have been proven to be ineffective and that they're frauds. You're familiar with that part of the bill?
Yes. There is absolutely no research that meets scientific standards that proves that. In fact, the American Psychological Association's task force report in 2009 said that there is no research that shows that the therapy causes harm. The task force said it made a temporary decision based on anecdotal evidence. But there's over a century of research published, including in journals of the American Psychological Association, peer-reviewed journals by APA members, showing that when the therapy is done right, it is effective. And APA presidents have done change-allowing therapy and help people change their sexual attraction and behavior and have opposed therapy bans.
For our listening audience who may not be aware of what peer-reviewed journals are, they're not just any journal you get out there. A psychologist would send in an article they've written, and the editor would receive that but then send that out to usually 2 or 3 very reputable psychologists who are within the field, usually at teaching universities, who are experts in that part of the field to review the paper and make suggestions as to how to change it so that it comes more in line with the latest research before it's ever published. Did I summarize that pretty close?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about peer review articles, especially those that are done not only by members of the American Psychological Association, but as you said, board members and even presidents who have published material or who have conducted this research, you're talking about something that should give those who are charging forward with the claim that this is ineffective or this is fraudulent cause for pause, because that's not what the data says.
That's correct. And also the APA task force report said that it had no evidence that LGBT affirming therapy was safe or effective. And recent reviews of that approach, the affirmative therapy, LGBT affirmative therapy, says that it still has many limitations. So there is no basis for taking a position against this therapy except an ideological, an attempt to coerce a viewpoint rather than win through persuasion. They're attempting to coerce it through law, which is unconstitutional.
So let me back up for a moment, because I know that out there, there's a lot of people who have very strong opinions about this. What you're saying is that a lot of the opinions that have been formed or in the process of forming are being formed without the benefit of good science, and that what needs to happen, you know, is Isaiah, come let us reason together. We need to bring the science into this, and we can't do that if a law like this comes into play and says that you may not treat people with what may be a very effective and a very good therapy for what may be the most devastating condition that some of these people will have in their lives.
And people have a right to make personal life changes that help them live in accordance with their faith or save their family. And no one should take that right away from people and tell them how they can live their lives. Everyone should go to ab2943.com to get information and take action. It will tell you whether to email your senator, and it'll help you know who your senator is, and make that email or email the governor, depending on what stage this is at when you hear this program.
Well, and this is also be available on podcasts, so please tell your friends to go to OCCatholic.com. And at OCCatholic.com, you can download the podcast for this and share it with someone, send the link to it. But I want to come back to this for just a moment. So under these circumstances, you said to save a family, and I'm trying to think of circumstances how that
right.
might happen. So if you had, say, a man or a woman, let's stick with the man since I'm a man, and he is happily married otherwise but goes through a rough spot mm-hmm. and is attracted to someone in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And wants to desensitize that attraction for the sake of saving his marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So if he comes to you, he can currently, and under this law, still get therapy for dealing with that attraction. But if he's attracted for some reason to someone of the same gender in his office, he would not be allowed to get that therapy.
That's right. Now, let's say a man or a woman comes to us and, you know, a man in his office or a woman who goes to her church. And let's say even a woman who's middle-aged, 40 years old, has three children. She says, I love my husband. I love my children. But recently I have felt attracted to another person at my church. Can you please help me decrease my desires for that person? If she's attracted to a man, we could help her. But if she was attracted to a woman, we could not help her. In fact, she couldn't even go to a professional pastoral counselor for help. And this is dangerous because it can break up families. It harms children. And this is not an exceptional kind of situation. Many people may not know. Most people who experience same-sex attraction also experience equal or greater opposite sex attraction. They're either bisexual or mostly heterosexual. And people who are mostly heterosexual are usually left out or often left out of surveys, so people aren't even aware of their existence.
So the way that I've heard this explained to me, I've got professors who will talk about the binary system is just plain wrong. And they're going off on the tangent or in the direction of saying that you really can't define your sexuality in terms of binary and have other people define it that way. I've had other people explain to me that, no, there's binary attractions, but we often have mixed binary attractions. And it's very often we have mixed binary attractions mm-hmm. so that you can have bromances without necessarily considering yourself homosexual. you can have the idea that you have these limitations or these degrees of attractions, and that can cause you to think that there's a sliding scale, but really what you're talking about is still the binary, but the binary of different levels to the attraction.
Well, there are people who do change their sexual attraction even spontaneously just through life experience, whether they're bisexual or exclusively same-sex attracted. But bisexuals particularly have a high rate of experiencing a shift along the continuum from exclusively same-sex attracted towards exclusively opposite-sex attracted. So most of them do, many of them, if not most of them, do experience shifts along the spectrum, mostly toward or to exclusively opposite-sex attraction. So they're very capable of change. And shouldn't these people have a right to therapy that helps them make the kind of change they are capable of making that will save their marriage or their family and help them live their dream? Most people, they anyway, like most people, would like to conceive and raise their children with their spouse. And there, it's unconscionable that a law would take away their right to help to fulfill their dream and be able to be full-time moms and dads to their children and raise them to maturity. It's heartbreaking and it's tragic not to be able to help them. And everyone should go to AB2943.com and see the directions of what you can do to send your email either to your senator or the governor or both. And say that you oppose AB 2943. We need lawmakers to be more afraid of their constituents than they are of their party, so they will take action and do the right thing and protect the freedoms and rights, and especially the religious freedom, and the right to decide your own sexuality. Government is micromanaging people's sexuality. They have no business doing that. And they have no business telling someone their religious faith is fraud and denying a change and testimonies of change. Many people have changed.
I have two directions I want to go, and we've only got about a minute left in this section, so we're not going to be able to really do that just yet. But when we come back, I would like us to talk about two things. One is what the Catholic Church teaches about same-sex attraction and therapy and personal freedom in being able to get help. Where is the church on AB 2943? That's one. And then the second question I have, hasn't most of this in some way or another been brought up before? And if so, what has the Supreme Court said about some of these arguments? I want to make sure we touch on those when we come back. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Dr. Laura Haynes, and we are talking about AB 2943, which is a bill that will restrict and limit the ability for therapists to heal people who want help with some form of same-sex attraction. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and we will be right back.
Academic rigor and excellence are at the heart of private Catholic education. In 2016, 8 Diocese of Orange schools were awarded the highest U.S. Department of Education distinction through the No Child Left Behind Act Blue Ribbon School Program. The program honors public and private K-12 schools that are academically superior in their states or demonstrate dramatic gains in student achievement. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timmarie Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timmarie podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Dr. Laura Haynes. And thank you again for coming to be with us today, Dr. Haynes.
Thank you, Rick.
We are discussing a very pertinent, very important topic because our legislature in the state of California, who all of you elect, Whether you agree with the election outcomes, it's a whole different issue. But all of you who are listening, I hope, go out and vote. And I hope that you are willing to also get on the phone and call your legislative office when you feel that something is important. And Dr. Haynes is here to talk to us about something that is pretty important. So we were talking about some of the limitations this law, 2943, would put into place that would restrict people who want help from getting help with their same-sex attraction. I want to talk for a moment about what this means for us as Catholics. Because, as I mentioned at the beginning of this show, there's a different worldview that's being placed, that's being put in place, especially here in California, that separates us out from our faith and tries to say, you may not apply your belief in God to your actions in this world. And we Catholics can't do that. We have to apply our belief in God, and we have to apply that from a moral perspective on our actions. So you're Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you're a convert to the Catholic Church. We were talking before the show that several years ago you converted over to the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
And I'm also a convert. We take, those of us who are converts have a tendency, I think anyway, the ones I've talked to take very seriously the reasons why we convert. Because those who are raised in the faith, they inherit it. Those who change a faith, especially if it means moving away from a community, sometimes family members, in order to adopt a new community like the Catholic Church, which is a very intense community, at least if you get a good parish, that's a lot of commitment. So from a Catholic perspective, how has this fight affected you, and how is this fight relevant to Catholic faith?
Well, Rick, many people find joy living according to their faith and their beliefs about sexuality and gender, and that's true for Catholics as well. So people should have a right to have resources and counseling that help them live according to their faith. No one should take away that freedom of religion from them and freedom to choose their own sexuality and gender identity. That's a very personal decision, everyone.
Hey, wait, say that again. So you're not saying, your side of the argument isn't to say that we take away someone's ability to choose what they are.
No, AB 2943 takes away someone's right to choose who they love and how they want to identify their gender. And people who want
their... Wow, you just turned that on its ear.
That's right. That's right. So people who want counseling to change have the same right as everyone else to love who they want and identify as they choose and to live according to their faith. And no one should take those rights away from them, as this law is attempting to do, and we need to stop that from happening.
From a Catholic perspective, regardless of how someone became same-sex attracted, and there's a debate out there about whether or not someone's born that way or whether someone becomes that later on from different influences, and I recognize that's a hot topic. But if we're going to say someone is attracted to someone of the same sex, the Catholic Church doesn't condemn that person for that attraction. The Catholic Church says simply that sexuality is something that is sacred before God in its actions, and therefore is reserved solely to actions between a married man and woman, sacramentally married, who are therefore reflective of the image of God in themselves and open to life, which is part of the image of God, so that they can have as part of their marriage that true conception, the ability to conceive, not only the love between themselves, but a physical baby. To be open to that is part of it, and that means sacramentally they've been married. Any sex outside of that would be morally wrong, whether we're talking about two teenagers or college students who hook up for the evening, that's morally wrong, whether we're talking about someone who has an affair with someone else because their own marriage is in trouble and they're attracted to a coworker, that's morally wrong. So too is sex with a friend, regardless of whether or not that person is your gender or some other gender. The Catholic Church teaches that sex is sacred between a husband and a wife. So from that perspective, if you've got someone who is wanting to deal with their with their problems from a Catholic perspective, mm-hmm. and wants therapy to help change an attraction under this law, they'd be forbidden from exercising that part of their faith.
That's right. Some just want to change their behavior and not act on their attraction. Some want to change their desire to act on the behavior, which certainly, if the desire is diminished, makes it easier not to act on the behavior for sure. And, you know, there's a film that came out, Desire of the Everlasting Hills, was it, Rick? It was a film about some Catholics who decided they wanted to live chaste lives, and they became abstinent. They became celibate.
So they had been sexually active before, mm-hmm. as young teenagers often are, and now they want to change their sexual attraction to become celibate.
Yes, that's right.
That would be covered here, too.
Yes.
I know where you're going.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. Because AB 2943 doesn't even allow a therapist or a pastoral counselor or pastor or whoever, anyone, to help someone change their behavior. And the ACLU of Rhode Island, not known for being a conservative organization, says it opposes any bans against sexual orientation change therapy because they have a wide spectrum of practices that they turn out to ban. And it includes, says the ACLU of Rhode Island, a therapist can't help a priest who has same-sex attraction keep his vow of celibacy. Can't help a young man who wants to change his same-sex attraction and behavior so he can enter the seminary. And by the way, can't help someone who, because they have HIV, wants to remain celibate. You can't help someone who, simply for their religious faith, wants to be celibate. Think of this. I mean, this is government micromanaging someone's sexuality, their sexual behavior.
You know, I have to back up for a moment, because what this would mean then, and I could see this coming down the pike, they're going to deny it now, but I could see it happening. So you get seminarians who are paying, or someone is paying for them to be in seminary, and as part of that being in seminary, they are being counseled that whatever sexual attraction they had before, they need to give up to God in order to be celibate. That's going to fall under this law too, because there's a transaction that's going on financially, and there is therapy that has to do with changing their attraction from being healthy. I was attracted to women when I was in college, but I'm not going to allow myself to be attracted anymore because I'm giving that up for God.
Mm-hmm.
And any other priests who would try to help them deal with that would fall under this law.
There you go. So the dangers of this law and the broad spectrum of practices that could trigger it is staggering. It is such an attack on freedom of religion and freedom of sexuality. We've got to stop this. We've got to have everyone, please, go to AB2943.com. It will direct you on how to take action. Our legislators, our governor, need to hear from you. The site will tell you which action to take, and it will give you information, legal analyses, all the information you want. Please, AB2943.com. Let's stop this now.
And that goes back again to our Catholic faith, and I want to make sure that we've underscored that. We're not trying to say that we're defending the right of someone to force someone else to change their sexual orientation. We're saying that if someone wants to have coaching on how to improve their life, and they're struggling with an attraction that they no longer want, don't want, even if it's only partial, they're going to be forbidden from getting that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for example, a person in college starts into a relationship with someone. There's a lot of experimentation that goes on in college, so they start with a relationship with someone who's of their gender. And in coming out of it, while they're attracted to their fiancé, who they want to marry, they're still dealing with some of the residual issues of having had that relationship. They, too, could have a problem trying to get help or therapy under this law. they would not be able to have help trying to get away from that former attraction that they had toward the man they were with in order to be better prepared to enter into a marriage, a heterosexual marriage. If that's what they really want to do and they really have that attraction, but they're trying to work with coaching, with how do I deal with this stuff? Because so much of therapy really falls under the category of coaching. You want to get better at something, and the therapist gives you advice on how to do that. They'd be forbidden to get that coaching.
That's right. And what the therapy does is we don't, it's first of all, the client is in the driver's seat. The client comes to us, they want to change. And they set the goal for their own therapy and their own life. And that's the way it should be. And we don't try to change sexual orientation or gender identity. We treat the underlying causes with evidence-based treatments for sexual addictions or trauma and with well-established practices that are used by therapists around the world. And as these underlying disorders are and causes are resolved, the same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria resolves as a byproduct of just doing good therapy.
So when we're talking about therapy, we really are talking about something that should be available to anyone who needs it. Out of compassion, they should be allowed to have. From a Catholic perspective, the compassionate thing is to make more therapy available, not less, and to make more options available to deal with whatever problems you have, not less, and to be, as long as these therapies have any possibility for help, and you mentioned earlier several studies and a long track history mm-hmm. of academic research that verifies that these therapies do have potential for help, that those should remain available out of mercy, out of God's love, out of compassion for the people who are suffering.
That's right.
So when we come back, I have a couple more questions to ask you, starting with, why are we doing all this when I thought we had a Supreme Court who basically said we have freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and I thought we had settled all this somewhere along the line. I guess I misunderstood, or maybe not. When we come back, Dr. Haynes, that's where I want to go. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will be right back.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Dr. Laura Haynes. And before we go any further, I want to thank you sincerely for being here, Dr. Haynes. Because I know me, I'll get to the end here and I will forget. So thank you for coming in, and I hope you'll be able to come back again sometime
soon. Thank you for having me.
Although I hate to say it, I hope that it's not for the same reasons. Not that you're not welcome to come back and talk anytime about ideas that affect us from a sexual perspective, which has been a lot of what you treated when you were in therapy and a lot of your research, and now it's become your passion from a political perspective, because we're dealing right now with a law that's on the books, ready to come out, that's being voted on in the legislature. It's being going back and forth in the two different bodies of the Assembly and the Senate, and it's going to be before Governor Brown soon, and that is AB 2943. And we've been talking about some of the problems that go into it. I'm now, my head's not quite ready to explode, but I'm looking at all the different issues that have come and gone over the last 20 years on freedom of speech and freedom of religion and some of the cases that have come. And there's got to be something in there that would make this illegal on the face of it, I would think. Is there?
Yes, it's unconstitutional on three grounds before it's even voted on. And the most important of these comes from the U.S. Supreme Court decisions that were handed down at the end of June, and in particular, the NIFLA versus Becerra case.
Okay, that was the one where the clinics in California that wanted to offer alternatives to abortion, so these are pro-life clinics, were being told they had to give advertising to abortions. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't do that. Is that the correct
case?
Yes,
you cannot control professional speech.
So how was the reasoning in the outcome of that case relevant to AB 2943?
Okay, well, the defense that had been used for the NIFLA versus Becerra case for justifying the law against these pregnancy centers was called Pickup versus Brown. Now, David Pickup is one of my colleagues. He's also a political activist defending the right to therapy. And in about 2012 or 2013, the state of California passed the very first ban on therapy. It only applied to professional therapy provided to minors. And
so it's similar to this law that we're talking about, but for minors only.
Yes.
Okay.
He contested that law. He sued the state of California. And the Ninth Circuit Court created a new doctrine of professional conduct. It said that professional speech isn't really speech. It's conduct, so you can censor it.
Okay, so let's back up. The First Amendment only covers freedom of speech and freedom of religion, of establishment of religion, but also the practice of religion. So how does clarifying something as conduct instead of speech somehow make it constitutional to control when you wouldn't be allowed to control if it was just their freedom of speech?
Well, the Ninth Circuit Court said if it's just professional conduct, you can censor it, whereas if it were professional speech, you couldn't censor speech. Well, the United States Supreme Court looked at this ruling of the Ninth Circuit Court on Pickup versus Brown, and they abrogated it. That is, they said, it's no way. You cannot censor professional speech just because it's uttered by professionals. We don't recognize a separate kind of speech. Speech is speech. If you could regulate speech because it's uttered by professionals, then just think of all the different kinds of licenses there are and all the people who would lose their freedom of speech. And it said the law, this doctrine had even been applied to fortune tellers. So all you would have to do to censor a group's speech, it said, is license them.
So once you've licensed them, what they're doing is actually conduct, not speech. And therefore, it's something that you can regulate how they practice, where you might not be able to regulate what they say.
You're right. Government takes over controlling what they can say.
So this would be the difference between you as a psychologist with a PhD, how you treated your clients versus a paper you might write about something you're treating. You could write and say anything you want to, but you're limited on how you treat your clients.
Correct.
That's what the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals was trying to say. And you're saying the U.S. Supreme Court said, no way, it doesn't work that way.
Can't do it. That's unconstitutional. So that means that all the therapy bans that rely on this decision in California are now unconstitutional, including AB 2943, before it is voted on.
So why are we voting on this law? Is it because the people who vet these laws in the legislature are ignoring that, or are they trying to pick a fight, or what are they doing with this?
Well, some of them are not very happy about these decisions. No, they're not happy about these decisions, and they want to fight. But we want to stop it.
Okay, so in the end, it's always easier to not have to take a case up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
When the state of California gets on board and decides to move a case, they have unlimited resources, and in order for a group to challenge it, while they may get a group to help you with it, that's still exhausting on their resources. Mm-hmm. And eventually they're not going to be able to continue doing that, no matter how large the group might be, if it's not a government organization with unlimited resources.
Well, this one will be fought all the way to the Supreme Court, I guarantee you, if it passes. And all of the laws, there are 13 states that have banned therapy for minors. Those laws are, we're lining up lawsuits against every one of them to take them down.
The California legislature passed that law a couple years ago, and that's currently on the books. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it's currently right now illegal in California for if I happen to be a pastor and I'm at a high school, Catholic high school, and their parents are paying to have their children there, so you've got a transaction going on. That priest cannot counsel a child who comes to talk to him about same-sex attraction. He can't counsel him to change his same-sex attraction.
That is, that may very well trigger the law and bring on a huge lawsuit. I want to tell you a story about how the legislators are thinking about this law. The last public hearing was before the Judiciary Committee. It was in the middle of June. I was there. They had to change the location to a larger room because there were so many people who came from all over the state of California to oppose AB 2943, including a number of people who were wearing black T-shirts that said in white letters, "I changed." These people had given their testimonies on the steps of the Capitol the morning before this hearing. And I was sitting beside one of these people. It was a woman who was a professional golfer who had given, I'd heard her testimony that morning, how she no longer experiences any same-sex attraction. And on my other side, I met a woman who said that all her life, she, as far back as she could remember, she only felt like she was a boy. And she wanted to, when she became a teenager, she wanted to have relationships with girls and she wanted to marry a woman someday. But then in her early adult years, she had a spiritual experience. She experienced the love of God. And she responded to God's love. And she said, "Okay, God, I will have a relationship with you. I give my life to you, but please don't change me." And I asked her why she asked God not to change her. And she said she had no concept for what it would be like to feel like a woman and to feel attracted to a man. So she was afraid. But she said now she's gone through a journey with God and she's gone through change through her life experience and her experience of the love of God. Now she feels fully and happily like she is a woman and she's attracted to men and she wants to marry a man. And so this room was full of hundreds of people, who many of whom had stories like this. And then the hearing began, and they heard the horrible things that are being said about their so-called experiences. And they were stunned and horrified to hear their experiences so grotesquely misrepresented, including by a very reputable person who should have known more than he did. And because what they were describing was nothing like what these people around me had personally experienced, only the love of God and kind care. At the end of the hearing, the last part, everyone who wanted had a chance to line up and give their one-sentence testimony, "My name, city, and I oppose this bill." And they came, hundreds of them came, and lined up. They'd come from all over California for their moment to give their one-sentence testimony against this bill. And when they were done, and there were hundreds of them in this room, they opened the doors, and they filed in from the halls. And they came and came and came. Hundreds of people testified against this bill that day. And after they did, legislators on the hearing lectured them on how they misunderstood and this bill is not unconstitutional. Only a week or two later, the United States Supreme Court set that record straight and said these bills are indeed unconstitutional. But, when I talked to this woman on my left who had changed her gender identity expression, she asked me, "What do you do?" And I explained, "I'm a psychologist and I'm a political activist defending the right to therapy for people who haven't wanted same-sex attraction or gender identity. I've been up at the Capitol half a dozen times this year, and I've been to Washington State a couple of times this year." And she said with tears in her eyes, "Thank you. You're helping so many people." And I want to say to you, Rick, and all our listeners, go to AB2943.com and be one of those people who's helping so many people.
Wow. Dr. Haynes, we are out of time, but there's so many other things I'd like to say. We really only have time, though, for the most important thing, which is prayer. Would you lead us in a brief word of prayer?
Sure. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask you to come to our aid and come to the aid of those whose rights to heal and right to change and right to choose and freedom of religion are being taken away. And it's not only those who have same-sex attraction and gender identity, but all who would help them. And really, Lord, our churches, our schools, our clinics are all under assault. And Lord, we ask you, and we ask St. Michael to come to our aid, help us be victorious over this bill. And we ask this and help all those who are on a journey to live according to their faith. Give them the strength and the guidance and the help, Lord. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
And you have been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Dr. Laura Haynes, and we've been talking about AB 2943, which we see is very problematic from both a Catholic perspective and from an American perspective. It's just plain wrong. If you'd like more information on this, you can go to AB2943.com, or you can listen to this podcast again at OCCatholic.com, and you can download the podcast. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll see you again next week.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timmarie Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timmarie podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
My name is Nick Jordan. I'm the founder of Wells of Life. I'm here to tell you that there are 10 million people in Uganda without access to clean water. Imagine your water comes from a stream or pond shared with animals. Imagine that this water is loaded with parasites and disease. Each day you have to walk 3 miles to fetch this because it's all the water there is. So what can you do about this? The great news is you can do a lot. Go to wellsoflife.net and make a personal donation. Talk to your family, church, or company about funding your own well. Every penny goes to fund your well and will bring water and life to as many as 1,000 parishioners in rural Uganda for up to 20 years. Go to wellsoflife.net and make a personal donation. wellsoflife.net. wellsoflife.net.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, Music Director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at Christ christcathedralmusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit christcathedralmusic.org.